Well, greetings to all of you this morning. Jesus' worthy name. I trust that you are rejoicing in his salvation. There's no name under heaven given among men whereby we can be saved. But we have the Lord Jesus, our eternal rock. We were singing that last song about storms, and I thought about that. It's been a long time since I've been here. I think there's been some storms. We've had storms. You all have had storms. Sometimes there are storms that come through church. Sometimes it's in your family. But we have storms, don't we? We have things that we face. And they're not always easy things to go through. But we thank God that we have the rock to come back to, and that's such a blessing. I would like, I don't know if how you do here, but could we kneel together if it's possible for you? Oh, Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus, our rock, our Savior. Father, we come to you because we have need of you. Lord, we come to you poor and needy. Lord, we thank you that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And Lord, we pray that you would be here in our midst here this morning, and would you break the bread of life to us, Lord. Make it alive. Make it real in our hearts. I pray that you would establish our goings. Lord, would you come and do the things that you want to do in our lives? Help us to be willing servants, open hearts that we can receive from you today. Lord, thank you for the salvation of our souls. Thank you, Lord, that you've washed our sins away through the blood of the Lord Jesus, and Lord, that this morning we can have peace and assurance in our hearts that you have forgiven us and you've cleansed us and that you are cleansing us from all unrighteousness. So, Lord, we just yield ourselves to you. Be with my tongue this morning as I share, as I speak, that I would be mindful of your spirit and what you want me to say. So we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm thankful to God that he knows what we need, right? And the things that I stand in need of and share here this morning, I share them not knowing what your needs are, but knowing that we're pretty much flesh and blood, just we all have much of the same needs in our lives. And the wisest man, Solomon, he said this, there's no new thing under the sun. So I don't know your lives. I don't know what you've been going through. I don't know what all is needs in your hearts this morning and what you need, but I know that God knows that. And so he speaks to us. And as I pondered what to share here this morning and that, I was doing some thinking. How many of us do some thinking? Some of us don't even think, I guess. We all do thinking, right? We think, we ponder, some of us just enjoy thinking, right? We don't enjoy talking so much, we just enjoy thinking. Others of us, we enjoy talking and thinking at the same time. And sometimes that gets us in trouble too, doesn't it? But I wonder what kind of things that we've been thinking about. What have you been thinking about? I wonder if I would have a volunteer this morning to come up here to the board and tell us on the board what you've been thinking about this past week. Wonder how that would turn out. We could probably put different thoughts up there, right? And we would probably try to tend to protect ourselves a bit by putting up there, oh, beautiful meditations we had this week. And I trust you had some of those. But our minds are unique, aren't they? And to put our thoughts up here on the board would be a little bit revealing. It would be a little bit, might be kind of embarrassing, in fact. Depends what kind of thoughts we've been having. But I'd like for us to consider our thought life this morning, maybe our thought process a bit. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, he says this, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." You see, fears come when we think sometimes. We have fears. They might be real. They might not be real. But our thought process brings us to fears sometimes. But God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That word sound mind means a disciplined mind. A mind that has been brought into subjection. You know, this thing of just rambling thoughts or letting our mind freewheel, that doesn't fit this description of a sound mind. Now, there's this illustration went this way one time. The husband and wife were driving down the road, and the wife says to the husband, "What are you thinking about?" Because everything had been silent for quite some time. And, "What are you thinking about?" What do you think the husband said? Exactly. Nothing. Only men can do that, right? Think of nothing. Well, I think we all actually do think things. But we can ask ourselves this question, and I think it's a good question to ask ourselves, is where do thoughts come from? How do they get into our minds? Are they just things that I think of myself? Are there thoughts that come that are from God? Are there thoughts that come that are from the devil? I think they're all of the above. I think thoughts come from all three of those things. There's also another aspect. If we think of our five senses, give us thought. They motivate our thoughts. And so we have the eyes, which see. There's pictures, and it produces thought. We have the ears, and we're using those, I trust, this morning. We're having our ears open, and we're hearing, and our brain is processing, and we're thinking. It produces thought as well. Touch directly affects our thoughts as well. If your wife touches your hand, or you as a husband put your arm around your wife, there's thought. There's things that happen. which are right and good. It directly affects our thoughts as we reach out and we even touch our children in a loving way. Those are the basics of thought. And here's another question. Does it really matter what we allow our minds to think about? And I think we could put it in two categories, right? We could put it in the good category. Is there something like just completely neutral thoughts where there's nothingness? Or is it in the category of it's a good thought or it's a wrong thought? We can pretty much place it in one category or the other for the most part, I think. Sometimes things feel a little gray, maybe in the in-between. And where do we put all that? I'm not here to dice that all up, but I want us to think about the fact that many times it's a good thought or it's a wrong thought. And what do we do with those thoughts? And the question here was, does it really matter what we allow our minds to think about? Does that really matter? Let's say it's a good thought. Well, it affects us, it moves us, it does good things for us. What if it's a wrong thought? Well, maybe it doesn't really matter because it's just in my mind. I just thought it. I didn't actually act it out or didn't do it. So it's just in my mind. Is that okay? Is that fine? Just to let that thing process in your mind. What about imagination? Is that right? Is it wrong? I would imagine things. When I was a young boy, I would imagine things, you know, and my children imagined things when they were young. And, you know, you imagine you were out harvesting, you know, you had the combine and you were pushing it up and down the carpet, you know, in the living room. You were making a field out of it. All imaginations. Young girls holding the doll baby. Oh, the baby's crying. Need to give it the pacifier. Maybe it's hungry. Is that okay? I think it is. I think that's good. They're becoming a follower of what they're seeing. And that can be all in its rightful place. Imagination has also created things. We have many things that have been invented because someone imagined it could be this way. Thomas Edison was one of those. We have light here this morning because his imagination was working and he was thinking about things. So imagination isn't all wrong, but there is imagination that is. And the Bible tells us to cast it down, and we read that scripture a little later on here. But so we have thought. We could also think about it this way. There's positive thoughts. Here are some examples of that. Thoughts of praise. Maybe it's praise to our Maker. Maybe it's praise to our children, our spouse. Thoughts of praise. There's thoughts of thanksgiving, blessing. Thoughts that are uplifting, thoughts that refresh, encourage, thoughts that are selfless, doesn't have me in mind. There's thoughts of compassion we have for others, thoughts of fondness, very positive things. And then we also know there are thoughts that are negative. Critical thoughts, fearful thoughts, thoughts like this that we can't measure up. And it's amazing how many times we find that in, maybe it's our children, or maybe we struggle with it ourselves as parents, that we have thoughts that I just can't measure up. I'm worthless. There's ungrateful thoughts, bitter thoughts, prideful thoughts, selfish thoughts. You know, and the fruit of those negative thoughts, they're unpleasant for us and everybody else too. The fruit of that thing. But we become the product of our thoughts and our decisions. That's who we become. The product of our thoughts and decisions. And the things that we think about, the decisions that we make, affect who we are and who we're becoming. Turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. And there's one verse in this particularly. We're going to read a number of verses here, but there's one verse particularly that we're going to focus on here this morning. Proverbs chapter 4. In verse 20, we're going to start reading there. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. The title this morning is Ponder the Path of Your Feet. It's talking about thinking, isn't it? Ponder. Ponder the path of your feet. I like what he says in verse 20 and 22. I love the context and the heart. Here's a heart of a father toward his son. My son, attend to my words. I don't know how about you fathers, but I've discovered that that's a necessary element for a father to have that kind of thought and pleading. My son, attend to my words. Why? Not because I'm so wise or because I've got it all together. But there are things that we have experienced in life that you need to know. There are things that we as dads need to be talking to our sons about. And I like what he says here. Attend to my words. Incline thine ear. You know, inclining. We know what an incline looks like, right? Can we do that here too? You know, incline your ear. Pull it forward so you can hear better. So you can understand better. Solomon saying this to who? Possibly Rehoboam. We know how things turned out for Rehoboam. They didn't turn out so well. And there was an earnestness, I think, about Solomon toward his children. My son, attend to my words. I like those first three verses. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine hearts. Young people, bend your ear to the things that your parents are trying to communicate. They don't do a perfect job of communicating all the time. I don't either. But they have something they are wanting to instill into your heart. Keep it in the midst of your heart. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Why? For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. You listen with all your heart to the things that your parents are trying to communicate. You listen. They are health to you. Health physically, health spiritually. And we have that familiar verse, verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence. Keep thy heart
That word keep is like a guard at a prison who is keeping the prisoners. They're not going to escape. That's the kind of guarding we need. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. But the verse I want to focus on here this morning is this verse number 26. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. We'd just like to take a little time this morning and break it down for us to think about. What does it mean to ponder? So I broke it in three things. I'm going to write it up here so we don't forget here. Here's the title. Why would I underline that? Sometimes we look at everybody else's feet and forget our own. So we want to ponder. We want to look at that word, the path, and then let all your ways be established. Established, help me out here. L. Yeah, right? Something close to that. You know what I mean anyway. You school teachers. Let's ponder. So what does it mean to ponder? How do we go about pondering? I think most of us do some pondering. But maybe it's not always on the right things. It's not always on the things that will take us maybe the right way either. But we do ponder. We have this word in the New Testament, pondered. And it was in Luke chapter 2, verse 19. After the angel came to Mary as a virgin, it says this about her: but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She conversed mentally about it, talking things over in your mind. That's pondering. Talking things over in your mind. This word ponder in the Hebrew, it means to roll flat. That is to prepare a road. Now that's quite a word picture, and oftentimes the Hebrew language was very much a word picture. And so they have this word picture of a road. What happens about a road? What's significant about a road? Anyone? It takes you somewhere. Exact answer I wanted. It takes you somewhere. And roads take us places. Do you think our thoughts do too? Ponder the path of your feet. And this preparing this road is to lay out a road, a direction. And it's built upon what? It's built upon a solid foundation. They do a lot of excavation work underneath that road. They don't just go out there and go over the topsoil, you know, just lay down the tar out over the topsoil. Well, we know that wouldn't last very long. They do a lot of preparation and a lot of establishing good, solid principle underneath that road that's going to take us somewhere. That's what it means. Ponder the path, to weigh mentally. We begin to think about it. We weigh it. What or how? How do we go about this pondering? And what should be included as we ponder? I think there's a number of things that need to be included. For one, facts. As we ponder, we should dwell on the facts. We need to bring the Word of God in on it. Bring the Word of God in on our pondering. Pray about it. Ask counsel. Being sensitive to the Spirit of God. Psalm 119, verse 53. I'm sorry, 59. I thought on my ways. That's pondering. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. That's deliberate thinking, turning our feet towards God's way. We're thinking about it, pondering it. This word ponder, another synonym to ponder would be to muse, to think closely, to study in silence, to think on, to meditate on. Now we probably relate to that, and I'm glad we do. There's another word that I think we can probably relate to better, and it's the opposite of muse. And when you have this word muse, and now you want to make it the opposite of that, what would you add to it? You would add an A to it. So you would say now it is called a muse. This little word right here means not. Means not to muse, not to think. A muse, we have a whole society that is geared towards amusement, where they just feed it in, and they feed it in, and they feed it in. And you don't think for yourself. You don't think about what's happening. They just feed it to you and take you places. So that's some of the word ponder. Ponder. But he says here we should ponder what? We should ponder the path. The path of our feet is what we should ponder. Where are we going? We said roads take us places, right? Paths take us somewhere. Do you ever end up somewhere and wonder what brought you there? Now, some of us have a little more gray hair than others around here, but as you get gray, and I don't think it has to do with the gray so much, but there's been times when you end up out in the shop and it's like, why did I come out here? I know there was something I was going to do, as something I was needing out here, and I can't remember what it was. As you get older, those kind of things start happening. Then you know you're getting a little older. You end up down in the basement in the fruit cellar, and you're like, what did I come down here for? Can't think. Go back up. Maybe if you stand at the same place you were before you went down, maybe you can remember. You know how that goes. Anyway, that's aside. Ponder the path of your feet. Where are our feet taking us? Where are our actions taking us? Questions like, if I continue to respond, here's just one example. If I continue to respond to the situations the way I've been responding, maybe it's to my children, let's just take that for an example. If I continue to respond to my children, maybe it's a negative way to respond to them, where will that take us? Do we think those kind of thoughts? Is that all right to think those kind of thoughts? As a dad, how I respond to my children, will that response, the way I'm going about that, will that bring them to the place I'd like to see them go? That's pondering the path of our feet. What will be the results of this decision that we're about to make? What is going to be the result of that? Or maybe the lack of making a decision. Where will that take us? And it's good for us to consider
not only today, where will that take us, but where will that take us in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? We need to ponder the path of our feet. Is it really the path that I want to follow? There are people who start out in the Christian life and they realize after they're on this path for a time that the Christian life is actually not an easy life. It's actually full of trials. It's actually got troubles in it. It's actually harder to live the Christian life than if you just throw everything away and just do what you want to do. Because you're going against your flesh. You're going against what comes natural. But is it, where do we want to end up? Sometimes we think the path is too hard. So, well, I can just be a Christian and do the things, you know, I don't have to worry about what the Bible says. I can just be a Christian and I'll make it to heaven because my sins are forgiven. I don't have to listen to what this word says. Is that really the path that leads to heaven? Jesus said there's a broad way and there's many that are on that broad way. And that's exactly their theology. That's where they're at. Do I believe God's word? Pondering the path of our feet. Is God's word what influences my life? Is that the ultimate influence of my life? I think it's good for us to ponder that. I think it's beautiful to have brotherhood. I think it's good for us to consider this oneness and unity of brotherhood. But really, what is influencing my life? Do I take the word of God and break it down for myself and for my family? Pondering the path of our feet. Or is it my friends that are influencing me? Now, I think we should affect each other in a good way. I think that would be a blessing. I think that's right and good. But sometimes friends also influence us in a wrong way and take us a wrong way. And we need to, again, ponder the path of our feet. And as we ponder this path, which way should we look? So we have past, present, and future. So as we ponder the path, which way should we be looking? We come to the path and we look at the path. Which way do we look? Do we look at the present? Do we look at the past? Or do we look at the future? Well, I'd say we should look at all three of them. As we ponder the path of our feet, I think the present brings us, we see the results. The present, in some ways, we see the results right now. We know what it's doing. As we look at the past, I think there's health in that, in some of that, because we know that history tends to repeat itself. And so looking at the past is also healthy when we consider the path. And then we need to see where we need to go, pressing towards the mark. And God's word is the safest to follow as we consider what lies ahead. God's word is the safest to follow. Want to get a little practical in some of this as we look at pondering the path of our neighbor's feet. No, pondering the path of my feet, thy feet. Here's some questions for us to consider. And I find these challenging in my own life. And I find that I need to continue to ponder this. And that is, how's my love for God? Well, that's a good, healthy pondering. How is my love for God? It is the greatest commandment, isn't it? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. And we ponder, is that really me? Or am I just pretending? I come to church and I smile and I put on this nice front. But is it really me in my everyday walk? When I go out on the job, is that really me? Loving God with all my heart. Another question, another path to ponder. How's my prayer life? How's my prayer life? Is it meaningful? Is it precious? Or is it easy to skip for a little more sleep? And we need sleep. Don't get me wrong on that. But is it precious? Is it valuable to you? How effective is your prayer life? The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Do we have purpose in our prayer life? Or is it kind of the mundane? And we know we should pray, so we pray. And I'm not saying we always have the feelings that, oh, I want to pray. We don't always have those feelings. But how is it for us? Pondering that path. How's our Bible reading? Do I study the Word of God to let it be my guide? Or is it just another duty thing? I'll read my chapter this morning. Now I'm good to go for the day. Or is it, what does God want to share with me this morning? You see, it's His love letter to us. What is it? You know, if you're reading in Leviticus, you might have a little struggle and it might be a little dry. But even in Leviticus, there's beautiful truths there that God has for us. But why is it dry if the Word of God is dry? Is it not giving life when I read? Those are just questions for us to ponder. Pondering the path of our feet. Here's another one. What are my priorities in life? What are my priorities in life? Now, as dads, I think maybe our children could tell us better. We tend to butter it up. We tend to try to make it glossy when maybe it's not as glossy as we think it is. But we need to ponder it. What is the priorities of my life? And this branches out in so many different ways. Are my priorities my business? Are my priorities my wife? I think she needs to have a bit of priority, a fairly high priority. Are my priorities my children? I've made some choices in life over the years, and some people maybe don't always understand. I heard a conversation one time on the phone that kind of revealed that. A person had called me about a business thing, and he didn't hang up after he was done. And I happened to be listening, and he was talking about this man who he was talking to, which was me. And he's not a very early person, you know, and he had these, it was interesting to know what he was thinking. But what I'm saying is this, I made some choices. It worked best for us to have family worship time in the mornings. And so I've made it a priority in our family that's the time we're going to have. We may not get to work at 5:30 or 6 in the morning, and that's just fine. I'm going to get to work after we get the priorities right and have those priorities first, to have God first in our lives. What is my priority in life? Is it based on eternal values or temporal ones? Here's a little different focus. Where are our priorities when it comes to our finances? Oh, this is Sunday morning. We shouldn't be talking about finances, but the Word of God is full of finances, talking about finances and what we should do with our finances. But I think it's right for us to consider, what are we doing with the money that God has given to us? Do we take it that way? Are we pondering this path that we're taking? Where are my resources going? Are they helping others? Are they blessing others? Or am I selfish and keeping them for myself? Where are the affections going? Is it controlling me? Or am I using it as a servant? I think those are beautiful principles as we consider the path. Here's another one. Who am I representing? Well, I think most of us in here probably are saying, well, we represent Christians. We represent Christ. And I trust that is that way, that most of us are conscious about that. But as we ponder the path of our feet, are we actually portraying by the places that we frequent that we are Christ's servants? By the things that we watch, are we Christ's servants? By the things that we watch, is it a clear representation? Yes, Jesus would sit right next to me and watch everything the same as I do. Are we a clear representation of that? It can go on to our attire, our clothes, our shoes, our boots, our hairstyles, everything. Are we accurately representing the one whom we claim to serve? Are we accurately representing that? Here's another path that we should ponder. And I'm sorry if it steps on our toes, because it steps on mine too. But here's one. Do we ponder the path of our feet when it comes to music we listen to? Music that we allow. Is it wholesome? Those are questions we should be pondering. Is it wholesome? What does it feed? What does this music feed that I enjoy? Is the group that's singing, are they God-fearing? Or are they an entertainment? Amusing. Just the things to think about when we ponder the path of our feet. What values is this group upholding? And here's the clincher for me. Would this music fit in heaven? That's a whole message of its own, music is. But it's good for us to consider, because music does, it does take us places. It changes our values. It changes people's values. It does a lot of things. We won't go there here this morning. But pondering the path of our feet. Here's another one. Is my life effective for God? Are there areas of ministry that I'm missing because I'm consumed with other things? Just consider that. Are there areas that God would even have me to be ministering to others and helping others, but I'm so consumed with myself and with everything else that's going on? And like was said this morning, for us older ones, 31 and up, that we're busy. Well, we are. We are busy. But are we missing opportunities that we could be ministering to others? Can we ponder the path of our feet in these ways? You know, how long are we going to be here anyway? You know, we, on a gravestone, we have this little dash right here, right? And then it's filled in. I don't know when that's going to be. It's questions. You know, when is that going to be? We don't know that. But right now, we're in this little dash of time. That's all we have.
Are we going to make it effective? As we ponder our path, are we missing opportunities that God would want us to be involved in?
Here's another one. Is my life producing the fruit that God really is looking for? If not, why not? What measures should I take to change that? Here's another one. Does God have all that He purchased? Or are there areas in my walk with Him that I'm holding back? And sometimes we're not recognizing those things, that they actually have a hold on us, and that we're actually not letting them go, and that Christ doesn't quite have everything that He purchased. That's why we need to ponder the path and see, what are those areas? Are there areas? And we can pray about those areas and ask God to show us those areas. I think He's more than obliged to do that for us. Here's another one. Attitudes. Attitudes, good at, you know, there's good attitudes, there's also wrong attitudes that we can have. Pondering the path, where will these attitudes that I have take me? Whether they're at home, whether they're about my neighbors, maybe it's the place of business. What are those things? And here's another one that we could add to that in light of the attitudes, but I think it goes even deeper, but church, brothers and sisters that we fellowship with, how is my spirit and attitude towards my fellow brothers and sisters? 1 John 4, verse 20 and 21 says this, If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath not seen, how can he love God whom he hath... I'm sorry, I read that wrong. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. There's something about brotherly love that goes pretty deep. And we don't always see things the same. And this brotherly love needs to carry us through those times. We don't just throw in the towel just because we don't quite see it the same as everyone else. But we pull together because we love one another. But when this thing starts stirring and we have these attitudes against each other, when that stuff starts stirring up, and you probably don't face those things. I have faced them. And it's a real thing. When you can't really almost stomach a certain brother. Why? Why? Where's that going to take us? Think about it. Let's move to the last consideration here. Talked about pondering the path of our feet. And then he ends with this. And let all thy ways be established. Let all thy ways be established. Some versions say it this way. And let all your ways shall be established. And I like that, because I think that's very accurate. As we ponder the path of our feet, I'd like to hone in on this just a little bit, because let me back up. When I was a young man, when I started doing this, of pondering my path, what do I want? Where do I want to end up? Where do I want to go in life? It changed the course and began to establish a strong moving forward. I'm not sure if I can explain I wish I could put it right into words the way I felt it back then. But it built conviction, and it was directly from God's word. And I think some of you know what I'm talking about.
You did the same thing. And I've seen young people who began to think about their life in this way, in this seriousness of pondering the path of our feet. And they began to make choices that ended them in a good, clear path. That's what we want. I think that's what the scriptures are saying to us. It establishes something. As we ponder the path of our feet, all your ways shall be established. It seems as we ponder that path, it plants us on something that's solid. And young people, do you want to make something out of your life? Do you want to make something good out of your life? Ponder your path. It helps us to get on that abundant way, the abundant life, when we do it with purpose. It's easy for us to see when a person is just freewheeling in their Christian life, and when that switches and they begin to ponder their path. It's pretty clear to see. Romans 12, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I believe that is a person who is pondering the path of their feet. They're beginning to think about it. This renewing of your mind means renovation. Now, the last time I was here, we'd come in through this door yet. That was the last time I was here. So this was all new over here out in the front. You did some renovation. And how did that all go about? You had to tear some things down, and you had to have a good plan, and you built the entrance there. Renovation. You know, in our spiritual life, as we ponder the path of our feet, there are things we need to change. There are things we need to change. There are things that need to come out, and there are good things that we need to place in its stead. In Romans 8, it speaks of the carnal man and the spiritual man. It says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You know, after conversion, it'd be sure nice if our carnal man would become converted. But the old carnal flesh, the old carnal man, the Bible says we are to die to it. So it's still something that's there. Now we need to repent of following its course and turn our feet towards God and towards His will for our lives. That's what repentance is, a turning. Instead of going our own way, we turn and we go God's way. But the carnal man will never be converted. But the carnal mind is enmity against God, it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. We're to die to this old flesh, this old man. Allowing God to sanctify what we think about. To be spiritually minded is letting the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, be in control of our mind. And I found this interesting that this word, to be spiritually minded, reflects directly back to the Holy Spirit. We need to allow the Spirit of God to speak to us, that we don't grieve the Spirit of God in our life. I think that's very important. Can we choose what we think about and what we ponder on? And how do we go about disciplining our mind to think on those things and to ponder those things?
which are good and right, and not just let our mind freewheel. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 6. We'll just wrap this up here. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I think that's the key. Bringing every thought captive into the obedience of Christ. That's pondering the path of our feet. Philippians 4, verse 6 through 8, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God ruling in our hearts is also another one of those aspects that we need. When we let the peace of God rule in our hearts, our ponderings begin to be those that are pleasing to God as well. And then lastly, he says in verse 8 of Philippians 4, we know this verse, but this is a good one for us to consider as we think about bringing our mind into captivity, our thoughts into captivity, being disciplined, where we started when we ponder. It's to be disciplined in our minds. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. They have discovered in an engine that the engines will last a whole lot longer when they put filters on them. When they have an oil filter and when they have an air filter. Would to God we would learn some lessons, right? When we put these filters in place, our life begins to bloom. This kind of filter right here. Thinking, what we think about. Our relationship with the Lord Jesus will start flourishing as we bring our mind into subjection to this filter. Things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. Any virtue, any praise, think on these things. Ponder those things. It's the filter that brings captive those other thoughts, isn't it? And it's a powerful truth. If you're in your young Christian life, start applying that. Start applying that. It'll be a blessing in your life to bring your mind into captivity. And if you're 40 years into walking with the Lord, we still need it. We still need it. Praise the Lord. God bless all of you. Wish you all the Lord's richest blessings. I know you're facing things that are hard sometimes. These are good things to ponder. Pondering the path of our feet. Where will this take us? Where are we going? In life, just personally, where am I going? So may God bless you.